You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. As the U.S. contemplates whether to send troops to Liberia, the lobbying for U.N. peacekeeping forces has gained support of U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan. John Lloyd, the official spokesman for the Coalition of Concerned Liberians, the primary lobby group seeking U.S. intervention to end the Liberian crisis, visited the studios of Peace Watch recently to discuss the ongoing conflict in Liberia.
At the time I left Liberia, Liberia was quiet. A pleasant place. My life was a good life in Liberia. Liberia, at the time I was there, was not burdened by the situation of civil crisis, of war.
Mm-hmm. What year was that?
I left Liberia in 1987. Mm-hmm. At the time, Samuel Doe, the dictator, was president. But Liberia, in terms of political instability, had just experienced a coup d'etat, which is quite different from war. So we did live in a situation which was not the absolute semblance of democracy, but not the exact situation of a war.
Mm-hmm.
So my experience in Liberia from a kid ranged from a normal, decent government under President William Talbert, to that of a dictatorship by mm-hmm. Samuel Doe, but not the situation that we see on the screens right now. We hear about through the waves and the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
Liberia is a changed atmosphere from what we left there.
What kind of footage are you referring to now?
We're talking about the footages of war, of 12-year-old kids, you know, holding guns as high as their heights. Situation where you see crowded streets of refugees with nowhere to stay, living in stadiums, people starving to death. These are the things that exist in Monrovia right now, and that is the main reason why we are pursuing very hard on Capitol Hill U.S. support, U.S. intervention to assist the crisis in Liberia.
So you want the U.S. troops to come in?
We need the U.S. troop to come in. It's not a matter of what we want. It's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe the U.S. presence and the U.S. leadership of a multinational force in Monrovia and Liberia as a whole is the most viable solution to the crisis that exists in Liberia right now.
So I want to talk a little bit about that, but I want to back up a little bit more and give people sort of a clear understanding of Liberia, the country. We know, most people, I think, understand that Liberia was established for freed slaves from the U.S. who wanted to return to the continent. What did that mean? What kind of a lifestyle did that manifest in?
Liberia, as you just indicated, was founded by free slaves from America, mainly from the southern shores. And that injected into Africa a Western style of life, a style of life that was transported from here. And that gave Liberia the most comparative culture to the United States on Africa, or probably almost anywhere on Earth, besides places like Canada that's, you know, bordering the United States, or maybe Britain, where people originated from before coming to the U.S.
How much dependency has there been on the U.S. All these many years?
Well, while it may be easy to refer to Liberia's relationship on a level of dependency because of our status as a third world nation and the superpower status of the United States, if we really examine that in detail, we can really describe that as dependency, because we cannot right now say that the United States have given so much to Liberia, much more than the United States has benefited from Liberia. I think it's been mm-hmm. a relationship that should have been of reciprocal receivership.
But, symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I think, you know, in symbol, I think Liberia has actually given the United States far more than Liberia has received.
For example?
I'll go back in history. You know, I would not mind mentioning the fact that Liberia was founded by people who worked free on the plantations, you know, and other places here in America to build this country. They were sent back. They weren't given reparations upon their return. Okay, well, we'll say that's prior to the establishment of the country.
Mm-hmm.
But in essence, let's move forward and leave that behind. Liberia has been a loyal ally to the U.S. throughout its history. Liberia has given their men and women in battle for the U.S. in World War I. Liberia declared war against Germany in 1814 on behalf of the U.S. Liberia has created enemies for herself on behalf of the U.S. Liberia in World War II contributed their forces and their territory for the use of U.S. military forces to battle their enemies and to assist the allies of the United States in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, Liberia provided her natural resources in the form of iron ore to build equipment, war machinery for the U.S. and her allies in World War II. Liberia provided virtually all the rubber used on the U.S. machines and equipment and that of all U.S. allies through the Firestone rubber plantation in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Liberia gave 1 million acres of land virtually free to the U.S. and by token just asked for a penny per acre. And Liberian workers were used as virtual slave laborers on those plantations, if we do account for how much they were paid comparing to the work they did.
What, expound on that. What 1 million acres of land was given to the U.S.? Where and when?
1 million acres of land was given to the U.S. in the late 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
In Liberia, within the middle portion of Liberia, the Firestone rubber plantation in Harbell. They gave 1 million acres of land to be used to construct the Firestone rubber plantation.
Mm-hmm.
The Firestone rubber that we see on tires here was, you know, that originated from Liberia, and most of these materials come from Liberia. And I'm saying not only now in terms of industry, but in terms of support for U.S. Strategic interest in the past. So if we look at these things, we can clearly say that Liberia is virtually strongly responsible for U.S. existence, U.S. viability. And if we translate that into dollars, it could be billions, it could be trillions,
mm-hmm.
because U.S. wouldn't exist as an entity as it is right now without Liberia. So many people don't know that when they talk about vital interest in Liberia, even after Firestone and even after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Our territory was used throughout the Cold War as a linchpin to get at U.S. Enemies, the Soviet Union, Libya, and all these countries.
Mm. Now, most people think that Africa, we think that oil reserves are throughout the continent of Africa. Is oil a factor with regard to Liberia and the U.S.?
Well, maybe if there's an apparent, as many would say, if there's an apparent oil factor in Liberia, maybe there'd be more interest generated to go there from the Pentagon or White House or elsewhere. But notwithstanding, we do commend the president for showing, for manifesting interest and expressing concern about the Liberian situation. There haven't been a decision not to go, so we wouldn't want to say that, you know, there's hesitancy or refusal. So at this point, we commend them for mm-hmm. taking an interest and taking the steps towards doing that. Oil has been explored in Liberia, and there have been reports that and indications that there are oil reserves in Liberia on a significant level. We haven't had anything established yet, you know, to confirm that. But the government reports from Liberia has indeed mm-hmm. reflected signs of oil reserves that haven't been tapped yet.
Where did Liberia line up in terms of for or against the invasion of Iraq?
Liberia, as far as I'm concerned, did express sympathy with the United States and express solidarity with the United States after 9/11. And did even offer any level of support from the government standpoint. In terms of Iraq, I have no record of any official position by the Liberian government towards U.S. forces going to Iraq, and there's no record equally of U.S. solicitation of Liberia's help in that particular enterprise.
Mm-hmm. And so now the world awaits, or Liberians await, the Bush administration's decision as to whether or not to send U.S. troops into Iraq to try and contain some of the rebel insurgency. How would you describe it? Is it a civil war? Is it rebel insurgency from groups coming in? Try and help us characterize what's going on there.
Well, what is this in Liberia? It's a full-scale civil war. The government force is being battled by two antagonistic rebel forces from both sides of the capital, one heading from the north and another from the southeastern portion of Liberia. And the capital has been overrun twice by the rebel forces. The humanitarian crisis is high. death toll is high, disease and infrastructure is completely devastating in the country. So there can be a situation of civil unrest or civil war that's worse than what's occurring in Liberia right now.
Who are the rebels that are fighting?
From the northeastern portion of Liberia, we have the Liberian, a group that describes itself as the Liberians United for Reconciliation and Democracy, commonly referred to as LURD, L-U-R-D. From the southeast, we have the Movement for Democracy in Liberia. Is the acronym is M-O-D-E-L, usually referred to as MODEL. And these forces are forces basically the transformed forces of the previous civil war, which existed in Liberia prior to 1997 when elections were held. So they are just former enemies of the president himself, who led a rebel force from 1989 to 1997.
And so President Charles Taylor is, the current President Charles Taylor is obviously under a great deal of pressure and has agreed to leave the country. Can you update us on that situation?
Well, currently, the president in Liberia, Mr. Taylor, has indeed accepted an offer of asylum from the Nigerian president, Obasanjo. The asylum has been described as temporary asylum in Nigeria, and that offer was made after President Bush called upon Mr. Taylor to resign and offered and gave a stern request that he should leave within a set period of time. I believe at the time that President Bush made a statement, he asked Mr. Taylor to leave within 48 hours. But within that time frame, experts have been sent from the Pentagon to Monrovia, and there's some adjustment that has been made to that ultimatum. And Mr. Taylor's demand upon leaving right now is that international forces arrive on the ground for fear that if he departs, civil unrest may erupt again through his absence by his rival forces and those forces that he will leave uncontrolled.
Is that a legitimate concern, in your opinion? The concern that President Taylor has articulated, that more unrest may erupt without the presence of international troops.
Well, there is natural fear that with the departure of Mr. Taylor, without international forces on the ground, there definitely will be civil unrest that, you know, we cannot predict. Mr. Taylor is one person who has absolute control and a very strong levels of control over his forces for years. And his forces is comprised of a lot of individuals who are teenagers and underage, who are not well trained. And without any leadership, nobody can predict the direction in which they will go. Equally so, the capital has been overrun by these rebel forces who may seek the chance of probably overrunning the capital again through the absence or some level of weakness by the government forces. And what we predict as Liberians is another skirmish between rebel forces from the north, the southeast, and untrained government forces who may probably at least go through some looting spree or mayhem in the city. So all the forces, from the government forces to the rebel forces, they are all very undisciplined, untrained forces, which left unchecked, you know, may, you know, cause serious catastrophe for the Liberian nation.
And so your organization, the Coalition of Concerned Liberians, feel that it would be in the best interest of Liberia to have U.S. troops come in and take the lead in this situation. You're not at all concerned, as others are, that the U.S. would come in and perhaps recreate the type of chaos that we're seeing unfold in Iraq now. What are your thoughts about that?
We're not concerned about the situation in Iraq recurring in Liberia, or the situation in Afghanistan, or years back, Mogadishu, Somalia. And it's because all these incidents of U.S. Involvement are diametrically different and they contrast.
Okay, well, then that's a fair response. So let's look at Liberia. Why do you see the U.S. troops as being able to play a important and significant role, given the fact that the troops are never trained in peacekeeping and are likely to be there in more of an occupying force? Could security not become an issue there?
Well, what we request you know, although we are requesting a stabilizing force, a peacekeeping force, occupation or the presence of occupation by international force wouldn't serve as a hindrance to our desires here.
So you'd be okay with occupation?
We need a combination of all, stabilization, mm-hmm. peacekeeping, and occupation, mm-hmm. especially in this particular time of crisis. We need even occupation of any group that will ensure stabilization on mm-hmm. the ground. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. force, the symbolic presence of U.S. force, U.S. being the most powerful nation in the world militarily, would provide a presence. And their presence on the ground would serve as a great deterrence to the untrained rebel forces that exist in Liberia currently.
A deterrent, certainly. I'm not so sure it wouldn't lead to more bloodshed, but I yield to your perspective and your opinion in this situation. You are a Liberian by birth, and I'm certain that your interest here is far more on point with what mine or other observers. I'd like to point out that some progressive political observers are critical of the U.S. sending in troops, and particularly in a leadership role. They feel that the U.S. should perhaps follow the African Union or the U.N., for example, and allow them to have the lead in this situation.
Well, our argument for U.S. leadership of a multinational force is based on several reasons. I just pointed one out to you. And another reason is not that it's, you know, our fellow African brothers or the U.N. wishes to worry about it shouldn't lead this particular operation. But these methods have been used in the past, and you know, it just didn't work. And the reason why it didn't work in the past, especially with the West African forces, is because the West African nations themselves, if you look at West Africa, it's not, just not Liberia that's dogged by destabilization. And the other nations that are not destabilized are facing serious problem of economic crisis in their country, if not political. And it deprives them of the ability of adequately helping a situation. It's like asking a crippled man to lead, you know, an amputated person to walk. That's the situation right now. That's why we had a solution in the past mm-hmm. that's just not working right now.
So these groups, you're talking about ECOWAS troops that are unable to basically stabilize the area as it needs to be?
Yeah, they're willing and they're quite capable of providing the numbers. But as shown in the past, the lack of resources deprives the situation of having the incentive, you know, of bearing a solution. Mm-hmm. And the presence of U.S. forces has a lot more to do with U.S. presence, symbolic presence, but also has the capacity of providing logistics and not just the manpower, but the command and control factor is another thing. Mm-hmm. With command and control from the U.S., it would bring a sort of togetherness within the West African forces and a different modus operandi as opposed to what occurred, you know, among these forces on the ground in the past. Now, if you send forces from other African countries that are not paid, there are chances that they may be more prone to be manipulated by political forces on the ground, which includes Mr. Charles Tiller. Now, we know very well that Mr. Charles Tiller cannot easily manipulate any rebel force.
Cannot or can?
Well, Mr. Charles Tiller does not have the capacity, as we see, mm-hmm. to manipulate U.S. forces as he would.
Oh, U.S. forces, yes, I understand.
As he would mm-hmm. with African forces. Mm. With U.N. forces, the fact is that Mr. Tiller right now is under U.N. indictment. Mm-hmm. So his fear is that he may be arrested by U.N. forces, and we see some problem in gaining cooperation from Mr. Tiller's forces, and they may stand at a greater risk entering the country to Tiller's forces than that of the U.S.
Mm. Well, U.S. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, to name one, has called for U.S. intervention in Iraq. And one of the things that she said is that the relationship between, or I think she's fearful that the relationship between Nigeria and Liberian President Charles Taylor is so cozy that he may not be made to answer the war crime indictments against him if he is allowed to actually leave and seek asylum in Nigeria. Do you feel that he should be made to face and answer these war crimes?
I believe that anyone should be answerable to their deeds in life. Mr. Tiller has committed certain deeds, and he has to not only answer to his people, but to his God. And he should take full responsibility for actions that he made. And I don't believe there should be any skirting around that particular issue. And I believe the enforcement of the U.S. Of the indictment that's already been made is already done. I don't think there's, you know, some means by which it should could be reversed. They can work that out diplomatically. But it's a situation that's established. And if there's an indictment, then he may just have to exonerate himself. But also, too, within factoring the peace process, these considerations can be brought to the table. And whatever solution that will bring peace to Liberia in the most viable means should be pursued.
Mm. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, again, I want to just read this blurb from her press release. She says that the current civil war in Liberia has had a devastating impact on the Liberian people. Both government and rebel forces have carried out executions, beatings, rapes, and torture of civilians. Large numbers of children have been involved in the fighting as child soldiers, and half of Liberia's population has been forced to flee their homes. Too strong a statement?
No.
Not strong enough?
Well, you know, it's right to the point, and it could be more than that. And you see, Congresswoman Maxine Waters is quite occurring to the issues that exist in Liberia. We've had interaction with her within the Congressional Black Caucus, and I think it's basically, you know, a united decision within the caucus and similar groups on the Hill that the Liberian situation calls for urgent attention.
Mm-hmm.
And there's absolutely no reason for concern that U.S. forces should be as at harm's way as in the case of Afghanistan or Iraq. There's no comparison, as I said before. U.S. went into Afghanistan to fight a war, to oust a leader, and they expected hostility in terms of their, you know, landing on the ground. The same situation in Iraq. They went to fight a war, to oust the dictator who pledged to resist them. Now, is that the situation in Liberia? No. The rebel forces have not pledged any resistance to the United States. Mr. Taylor himself has publicly welcomed these forces. The experts on the ground right now have been received like heroes. So you can't compare a red carpet welcome to an onslaught of hostility like in Mogadishu. All of these nations that you mentioned, whether Somalia or Afghanistan or Iraq, they're a Muslim nation that U.S. forces who are mainly Christian do not relate to. The situation in Liberia is different. Liberia is predominantly a Christian country, and the culture is based on Christian principles. So these are different situations, and the culture of Liberia relates so well to the United States, and the image of U.S. in Liberia is so much of a big brother situation that Liberians don't even have the thought to shoot arms at the United States government. So there shouldn't be any fear about that.
So you really make it sound like, you said yourself, red carpet treatment for these U.S. troops if they come in.
Exactly.
So they'll be throwing flowers at them and all
exactly.
the things that the U.S. said would happen in Iraq that didn't happen.
Yeah. You know, they would throw carpet on the ground for them to walk on. In Liberia, the traditional act is throwing the lapa, you know, the royal garment that women wear. They throw it down. And if that happens, I mean, you can watch the television after the announcement. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. So Liberians in the U.S. and people around the world are wondering why U.S. is afraid. I mean, it's understandable that they've had bad experiences. But you're talking about, you know, areas of hostility versus an area of welcome.
Mm. Well, this is certainly a perspective I had not heard before, and I'm just...
And I hope a lot more people can understand what I'm trying to convey right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm certain that there would be hardly any casualty, if there's any, in Liberia. Liberia will be a case for success of U.S. foreign policy that will override or at least make amends for Iraq or Afghanistan,
well,
easily.
Okay. And, of course, we'll have to wait and see what the Bush decision will be. But if it is no, that they aren't going to be sending in the troops, what are the options for Liberians?
Well, if U.S. decides not to send troops to Liberia, the obvious recourse will be a United Nations solution or that of ECOWAS. ECOWAS and the AU have already expressed their desire to help, you know, their brothers in Liberia, you know, regardless of the situation. The U.S. has, up to this point, at least pledged and promised logistical support. And I'm sure that would be the alternative. But that wouldn't stop, you know, the proponents of U.S. intervention in America, which include groups like the Coalition of Concerned Liberians and other Liberian organizations, African-American organizations, from pursuing what our actual desire is. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want 6 months down the road to see a situation which would just revert into what we're seeing right now. And then America would have to act again. America had the opportunity in 1989 to even stop Mr. Taylor from entering Liberia, from allowing Liberia to even being engaged in a situation of civil war. And America hesitated to act. And now here's America with that burden again. It's useless trying to skirt a situation that just may confront you again in life. And it's not a situation of what America has to gain as we hear every day. As we explain between the history of Liberia and America, it's all about what America has already gained.
Okay. John G.F. Lloyd, any final thoughts on your part?
Well, our final thought is that we're calling on the entire American public to digest, you know, the contents of this recent discussion and take a fresh look at the situation and make sure that America gets what it deserves and in terms of its image abroad, especially in Africa, by doing the right thing.
John Lloyd, the official spokesperson for the Coalition of Concerned Liberians, the primary lobby group seeking U.S. intervention in Liberia's civil war. Pacifica's Peace Watch is produced in Washington, D.C. Our producer is Scott Gurian. Our editor is Lona Elias. Our engineers today were T. from the Pattersons, taking the train to Tibet, and R.H. Brown. Our associate producer is Angelique Shofar. We had production assistance from Jim Bennett and Otto Hammond of KPFA and Keith Shaljian. Thanks to Pete Karakis, RadioForAll.net, and Shane Rock at WebActive.com for web help. It's your financial support that makes Peace Watch possible, so we urge you to make a generous donation through our secure online website at pacifica.org, or you can send your donations to Pacifica Radio, 2390 Champlain Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20009. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the show. You can send your feedback to us at peacewatch@pacifica.org. You can also visit webactive.com to listen to archives of past Peace Watch programs. I'm Verna Avery Brown, the executive producer. Thank you for listening.